I'm Madeline Brand, and this is Day to Day.
Hey, kids, who do you love?
Daddy!
How much do you love me?
With all our hearts!
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
That's the sound of television's longest-running animation series, The Simpsons. And it's the sound of that show that's making news. The actors who supply the voices for The Simpsons characters are demanding their share of the estimated $2.5 billion the program has generated its parent network, Fox. The voice actors are asking to triple their salaries to $8 million per season, and they're asking for a share of the show's profits from syndication fees and merchandising. Joining me now to talk about all of this is animation critic and historian Charles Solomon. Charles, is this unreasonable? They make $125,000 an episode now. They're asking for $360,000 an episode. And you look at the cast of Friends, and also a very popular show, they were making $1 million an episode.
Well, it's one of those situations where I feel wishy-washy because I feel something for both sides of it. On the one hand, The Simpsons is very much the show that put Fox TV on the map. I mean, no one paid any attention to it until The Simpsons came along. On the other hand, this is far more than most, I suspect, any voice performers or people in animation earn. It's certainly more than the animators make.
Yeah, and in fact, there are other people putting these characters on the screen, as it were. There are the animators, the writers, etc. Whereas actors, live actors in sitcoms, it's pretty much all them.
That's true, and there's always been a big series of arguments among artists in animation over, you know, hey, that's my character. And it's something that many people contribute to, the animators, as you say, the writers. It's always been a sore point within animation that voice actors earn residuals from their work and the animators don't. For a long time, even the directors didn't, whereas Mel Blanc earned residuals on all the Warner Brothers shorts. Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng, who directed them, did not.
And is there a perception that it's actually really less work because they don't need to memorize their lines? They don't need to go in for hair and makeup. They don't need to be out there promoting the product like, for example, the Friends stars do. Is it less work to be an animation actor?
In some ways less because they don't have to do the physical things, as you mentioned, that on-screen actors do. But it's also more demanding in that they have to do everything with their voice. And I think if you listen to some of the recent features where people who are on-screen actors without the kind of training in radio and other areas that voice actors generally have, you can see that they can't turn in as lively and convincing a performance using their voices alone.
Has there ever been an issue like this with an animated series?
Not that I can recall, because for many years the bulk of animation voices came out of radio. And so there were people who, you know, came in, did their parts, and then went back to their jobs in radio. Mel Blanc, again, Doss Butler, June Foray, Paul Frees were all veterans of a lot of radio shows. So were the actors who did many of the voices in the Disney features. So they were accustomed to come in, do their lines, and, you know, that was pretty much it. Now with the presence of a cast that's as prominent as The Simpsons, and with the use of big-name stars in many animated features, that's changing quite a lot. And I doubt when someone like Brad Pitt goes in and does a voice for DreamWorks that he's doing it for scale.
Or Jennifer Aniston, if she ever decides to make that leap, she'll probably make a little bit more.
Probably.
Okay, great. Animation critic and historian Charles Solomon, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Oh, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.